A reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. Thus says the Lord, "You, son of man, I have appointed watchmen for the house of Israel. When you hear me say anything, you shall warn them for me. If I tell the wicked, 'O wicked one, you shall surely die,' and you do not speak out to dissuade the wicked one from his way, the wicked one shall die for his guilt, but I will hold you responsible for his death. But if you warn the wicked, trying to turn him away from his way, and he refuses to turn from his way, he shall die for his guilt, but you shall save yourself." The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no evil to the neighbor, hence love is the fulfillment of the law. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have won over your brother. If he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, so that every fact may be established on the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell the church. If he refuses to listen even to the church, then treat him as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. Amen, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, amen, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything for which they are to pray, it shall be granted to them by my heavenly Father. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." The Gospel of the Lord. We just heard this in our gospel passage. Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." In the heart. This question has come my way a couple of times in my priesthood, much, much rarer than a blue moon. And a person has asked me, "Is there ever a time that I refuse to give someone absolution to forgive their sins?" And I have said, yes, there's once so far in my priesthood that I refuse absolution. And it was this situation. Someone had come to confession, and it was a serious sin. And so when he was done confessing his sins, I said, "Well, are you sorry for this one particular sin that you're asking for forgiveness?" And it was a mortal sin. He said, "No." And I said, "Well, what is your intent from here on out? Are you going to commit this sin again?" He said, "Yes, I am." So I said, "Because of that, I cannot forgive you your sin. Why would you ask for forgiveness if you have no remorse for it and you're going to do it again?" He had no response. But I've also have another extreme as well, too. A woman came to me and she said that she wanted to be forgiven of a sin that she had yet not committed. And I said, "I can't do that." I said, "If you have not committed the sin, how can you ask for forgiveness and asking for mercy?" I said, "You have to commit this, and hopefully it's not a serious one. But I said, I can't forgive you for something you have not done." And I use that because of perhaps trying to understand the gospel passage for today, in which I find a kind of very difficult one. one in which to try to understand what Jesus is saying and found in the gospel account of St. Matthew. In comparison to the accounts of Mark and Luke, in Mark there is no such passage as this. Luke, there's like one sentence. So it was important for St. Matthew to include it in his gospel account, what Jesus was trying to get at, and I trying to, as pondering over this passage, trying to understand it myself. And perhaps this might be the reason, but I'll give that later. You can take this passage and really divide it into three different parts. There's three different things Jesus emphasizes. The first thing he emphasizes is fraternal correction. We heard Jesus said that if someone has sinned against you, point the fault out to the person. Now, we know that's not very easy. And matter of fact, it can be downright harmful because someone could get very harmful, angry, and perhaps even upset if you try to point out to them the fault that they have. But Jesus is presuming that from your heart, you're doing it out of love and fraternal correction, that you're not doing it out of spite or vengeance or hate, but that you're trying to lovingly show unto the person the sin they are committed. And as you see, as the time goes on, it finally gets to the point that Jesus said, if they refuse to listen to anybody, treat them as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. Now, it's got to get pretty darn bad when you're treated like a tax collector. Matthew knew what it was like. He was a tax collector. He knew the insults that people probably gave him because he could charge more than the government wanted. I'm so happy that doesn't happen anymore, and that you like a tax collector. But if it was that bad, you just treat him as one, as a Gentile or tax collector. The second thing that Jesus uses is what's called this, what do you forgive? Jesus said, whatever you declare loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven, but what you held bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. I'm hoping that there is at least one person in here today that could tell me and say this. Haven't we heard that just recently? And matter of fact, we did just 2 weeks ago. When Jesus had asked the apostles, who do people say that I am? It was Peter who said that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus rewarded Peter for his answer. And he came in with this line and said, if you forgive sins, they are forgiven them. But if you hold them bound, they shall be held bound. Once again, what's in the heart of the sinner? Does the sinner want to be forgiven or not? Is the sinner going to show a conversion of heart or not? So Jesus once again emphasizes this, and it's found even also as well in the gospel account of St. John. On the day of resurrection, when Jesus breathed on the apostles and said, you are to forgive sin. The person who is sinful has to show the need for forgiveness and mercy. And the third part is the last part that we heard where Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I will be in the midst of them, and you can ask for whatever you may need. These three things, as we bring them together, this is what I find and what I think is a part of it, is this, that we have to learn how to forgive. But first of all, be people who are also striving to overcome sin and fault. And in doing so, then you can point out to your brother or sister who is in need of seeking forgiveness and a change of heart. But the love of God must be found in our hearts. It must be found and displaced by sin. Sin does not let God's love work effectively within us. And that's why we seek forgiveness of sin, encourage others to do the same. Not to be caught up in their sins, but to seek a sin and blameless life. It seems that all of us have a task, as we find in our passage for today. Strive for holiness, strive for the love of God in our hearts, and encourage others to do the same.